They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the Mic.
The Everest edition of Moody on the Mic. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me, Peter Moody from Belgrave South and Anthony Mytho, looking more like Sebastian off the Little Mermaid up there at Noosa. A bit of the sun for Mytho. Thankfully, he's put a shirt on before we started recording. And Moods, I'm going to set the tone straight away. I know it's a big weekend for you, and I don't want to give you a big head going in, but I'm down at my mum and dad's house at the moment. I was sitting out with my mum before, and I had these old photos of you that I'm using for a Channel 10 feature. And I said, who do you reckon that is? And you know who my mum thought it was? Patrick Swayze. Young Peter Moody. She thought it was Patrick Swayze.
I always knew mum was a good judge, and I just love my co-host. Here I am up in Batless Corner at Belgrave South, sitting in the hills. You're both there swanning with coastal views over your shoulders. It's just beautiful.
I'm in Frankston at my parents' house.
Can I see the bay over your shoulder?
No,
it looks very much like a bay behind the tree, I think, Rog. Very much behind the bay. So it just shows you. You know, I work in all circles, like the White Shear Brigade, like you too, and then I'll be down at the stables this afternoon, mucking out a few boxes with the boys, it's just shows you what a man of the people I am.
Yeah, such a man of the people that you're going to put Frankie Dettori, you're going to sack the local jockeys and put Frankie Dettori on Spanish Mission. We've read after his startling return to form in the Turnbull there, won in great style by Gold Trip. Big headlines, Frankie's salvation to ride Moods as horse, Spanish Mission in the big one. Farewell tour for Frankie. Frankie and Moods team up. Here they come. Going to be great, Moods.
Children. Well, as you would know, being a part of the mainstream media for a lot of the years, the shit that you do talk and the media does talk. So
I wouldn't be. Hang on. I heard yesterday it was Blake Shin was going to ride Spanish Mission.
Exactly.
Bray Sikorski came out and said he's mates with Frankie, and Frankie's not going to ride, and he can ride Spanish Mission. I think that's that. Well, that was the article I read anyway.
Yeah, well, that's right. And you believe half of what you see and none of what you hear or read, Anthony, particularly when it comes out of media moguls like yourself.
Oh, what, you're going to tell your owners what jockey to use now, are you? That'd be a first.
Anthony, can you please refrain from consuming alcohol on our show, please?
Hey, speaking of jockeys, Mark Zara produced another great ride on what looks to be a great horse doing Gold Trip on the weekend, winning the Turnbull Stakes. Romantic Warrior was all the chat going in, and Gold Trip pulled out one of the all-time great runs, so great that even Kieran Maher was surprised by it. Zara's on without a fight in the Caulfield Cup, so you would think that would mean Gold Trip might just head to the Cox Plate instead. But Moods,
No, not at all. My mail on Sunday morning, speaking to one of the part owners, although they don't seem to know anything, they don't even know what jockey's going to ride their horse in a Melbourne Cup. But, the text message exchange was, hey, he did it last year, Gold Trip, ran in them all. We're thinking about doing it all again. So that would be quite extraordinary to see him line up in them all. But on Saturday's performance, why can't he win them all? He's got 58 kilos in the Melbourne Cup. He would be unlikely to get a penalty if he was to win either the Caulfield or Cox Plate, given that he's the elected top weight anyway, Moods, wouldn't you say? So,
well, he won't get a penalty if he wins the Cox Plate because it's weight for age, but he'd have to spank him in the Caulfield Cup to get a penalty there.
No, he wouldn't. He'd just have to beat them. He would deserve a penalty if he wins the Caulfield Cup.
No.
Why not?
Well, because he's just won 58 kilos. So he's only won. He's won three races in his career. So you've got to factor in that he's weighted up to probably a bit of blue sky anyway. So I would have thought.
So the handicap has stuffed it up, giving him 58 and a half, has he? So he then should invite him to run up if he happens to win a Caulfield Cup. You name the last Caulfield Cup winner that didn't receive a penalty to go into the Melbourne Cup.
What did Incentivise get?
Was it two?
Yeah, but he was right down
in
the weights anyway because he was an emerging horse.
No, he wasn't.
What was he?
He was too high up the weights initially because we won the Craig Lee and they penalty for that. He, he'd won his highest rating win had been a listed race in Queensland or some bloody thing. Then he won a Group One race.
Had his next start. After he won the Caulfield Cup, he was still generous at the weights. Whereas Gold Trip at 58 or 58 and a half, he's
get your facts right. They all get penalised, and he will get penalised also. And I would suggest to you the reason he was able to win a Melbourne Cup last year that he had no luck and had a canter around in a Cox Plate. It would be a massive task for a horse to win all three. And the penalty he would receive after winning a Caulfield Cup, you'd think would probably nearly make it neon impossible. But that win on Saturday was absolutely phenomenal. But don't kid yourself that the horse can go from the Caulfield, winning a Caulfield Cup to the Melbourne Cup without a penalty. I don't care if he's got 68 and a half. He'll get a penalty if he wins the Caulfield Cup.
It's going to set up a magnificent storyline heading in, if he does run in all three. And also, I mean, Mark Zara's on without a fight in the Caulfield Cup. If Goldship does go to the Cox Plate, Zara could be the chance at winning the two cups in the plate, which would be a phenomenal effort. I think Craig Williams came close, but then got suspended for the ride on Juno Dan back in 2012, and he obviously missed out. We digress a little bit. We better punch through. Rainman isn't with us right now. We've texted him. We don't know where he is. We presume that he's probably tending to two children or running Ladbrokes. It's going to be one of the two. Staff Patrol was excellent on Saturday as well, Moods. And as we look toward, the sprint, we're hoping, and we will get to this, listeners, because we know that's what you're here for. I Wish I Win in the Everest this weekend. We're hoping I Wish I Win does the job in the Everest. Territories has got a mortgage on the Manicato. But Star Patrol looks like another reasonable player in the sprinting ranks, if not quite at the level of the two I've mentioned already.
Yeah, he was super in the down the straight once again. Star Patrol, he's created a bit of a niche for himself there. But I would suggest, and without denigrating Star Patrol, his wins have been good. We've been talking about the quality of our sprinters. You've got I Wish I Wins and Imperatrices and Think About It and the likes. We haven't got your Nature Strips and your Don Eduardo's, but I would suggest Star Patrol's then beating the level below them at this point. Like on Saturday, you've got the likes of Uncommon James and Asphora, who I would think are probably that peg above, and then the Everest probably sits just above them again. So, and Imperatrices isn't in any of them, and she probably sits above again. So he's winning well. It will be a next big step up to a race like the Chairman Sprint, or I hear talk of even the International Sprint in Hong Kong for that horse.
With the Ladbrokes Cox Plate Carnival fast approaching and the most anticipated Ladbrokes Friday Night Light season yet, it's time to become a Moonee Valley Racing Club member. Unlock a world of benefits, including a free drink and race book at every race meeting, access to the members' reserve, a new race for awards program, and more. With prices starting from just $195, it's the best value racing membership in Australia. Get closer to the action. Become a Moonee Valley Racing Club member today. Join now at thevalley.com.au.
We'll kick things off with the first Group 1 on the program at Caulfield on Saturday. And with Rain Man currently absent from the record, I better step into the Ladbrokes role, as was my job for quite some time. Alligator Blood is the $2.25 favourite. A fellow Waterhouse bot runner, Just Fine, has been $4.20 into $4. Duais, $5.50 into $5. And it's double figure odds the rest. Lindemann, $14. $17 for Nonconformist. He's a shocker. And 19, Forgot You, $26. And we won't worry about the rest of them. I might as well kick things off as well. Alligator Blood, obviously in excellent form, and winners are winners. But I'm not sure he's sort of a $2 pop here. I think he's one of only three runners who can win. And they are the top three in the market, as I mentioned. But I think it's the outsider of those three in Duais who is the pick for me, given the price discrepancy. Just Fine. Not as probably dominant as we thought he'd be in the Metrop. Moods, this is more your wheelhouse than mine, but 2,000 to 2,400 back to 2,000, can that mess with a horse? Or is that all right with that?
It's a little surprise. I'm surprised Gay's doing it. I thought that horse would have gone straight to the Caulfield Cup. Maybe he's not in the Caulfield Cup, Just Fine. Is that right? Because he's only run 2 weeks ago in the Metrop. I thought he would have gone Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup, but maybe Gay doesn't consider him a 2,400-metre horse or even beyond. I don't know. So it'll be quite interesting.
He definitely was supposed to be heading the Melbourne Cup, so you'd think he'd get 2,400. Anyway, back to 2,000 here. Duais looked to be getting somewhere back near her best last start when third, a little over a length behind Alligator Blood in the Underwood. I think she's better suited at the 2,000 than he is. She's drawn the widest gate, 10-horse field, 2,000 metres, not too worried there. $6. I think she looks the value of those top three runners. So I've got Joyous on top, given the price. But, you know, always fearful of the Gator and always fearful of an informed Waterhouse Pot stable.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this race. It'll be a beauty with Alligator Blood. He'll be in front at some stage down that Caulfield straight. But I'm a bit with you, Rog. I can see Joyous just hitting her straps late and getting over the top. He's, you know, is he a risk at the 2,000 metres? Probably. So, but he's so tough, he could tough it out. But, you know, if you, I love Joyous. She's by my favourite stallion, obviously, Seamus Award. So, for want of a tip and one of my $20, it'll be going on Joyous.
Well, I'm sticking with the Blood. I don't think he is a 2,000 metre horse, but I just thought quality might get him home here. I think he'll probably just sit on the back of Deny Knowledge, who probably leads the bottom one there, and he'll be in front of his stable mate just fine. I think he'll be crying out for the line the last 100 metres with the likes of Just Fine and Duais attacking him, but I just thought he might beat them on the point of quality more so than the fact that he's strength at a mile and a quarter. We did see him 9 furlongs last time. That's probably his extremity, but, you know, I'm with him. I think he'll be control the tempo, on or about Deny Knowledge, and be out tough the other two.
The group ones are going races 7, 9, 10 at Caulfield on Saturday because there's a nice bit of collaboration between the MRC and the Australian Turf Club. So we don't see that very often, but it's good, giving the Everest some breathing space. Anyway, the Caulfield Guineas, race 9 on the program at Caulfield. Militarise is the favourite for Chris Waller and Joe Moreras. The Party, the Victorian, $3.70. Militarise, $2.90, I should say. King Colorado, $8. $12 for Shelight. V8, $15. $16 for Centify. Southport Tycoon at $19. Griffith, three Mar Eustace runners in a row in the market there at $23 alongside Wolfie. And then bigger odds for the rest of them. Look, I have been in the Stapati, you know, camp since day one. I've got to stick fat, although, my goodness, that win of Militarise in the Golden Rose was superb. The ride from Moreira was something special. I think the experience of the track might just give Stapati the edge. Getting out to 1,600, we might also seem really let down and put a field away. We haven't seen that. It's going to be tough. The Guineas is such a high-pressure race, as we know. Look, Little Rose, I think, is one who might appreciate getting out to the mile and looks overs at about $26. I'm not going to leave him out of the quaddy. I've got Stapati just from Militarise and then Little Bros, Southport Tycoon, rounding out my first four.
What odds was Militarise there, Rog?
$2.90.
$2.90. He's giving it away, I reckon. Absolutely giving it away. He's 1 for 1 at the mile, albeit as a two-year-old, but he's bred to be this. He's bred to be the Guineas winner of 2023, and that's what he'll be doing on Saturday. By done deal, he's won a Group 1 1600 metre race at 2. He's run to finish first up 1200 metres, less than a length from the winner, and then go and win the Golden Rose. 290 is very, very, very generous.
Yeah, listen, I've got to agree with you there, Anthony. I think he's a rating special. Militarise. The only thing that could possibly bring him undone is the Caulfield factor for both maybe horse and pilot, and that's putting question marks against Chris Waller, one of our greatest ever trainers, and Joe Maria, one of our greatest ever jockeys, to overcome that. So I'm not brave enough to do that. I think Stapati will fly the local flag very, very well. I think he'll be a fair way in front of Militarise in the run, and he'll be very, very hard to beat. But just the form lines of Militarise, I think, are far superior. Throw in a wild card, Wolfie. Blake Shin's been effusive in his praise of this horse all the way through from the Nick Ryan stable, albeit on different form lines and restricted form lines. He could be the up-and-comer in the race, but Militarise is the quality, and I think only sort of misfortune could see him getting beat in this race.
Is the going the Victorian direction first time a concern? Not so much the Caulfield, but just going the other way on the other leg?
Yeah, well, it all is. But listen, Chris Waller's horses are very well versed, and Chris Waller's been doing this for years, brings these very good horses down here and just gets the job done. We've seen his horses win every feature race in Victoria doing that. So he's obviously got a system well in place to educate these horses to lead up on both legs. And I don't find it so much the direction, because it's a horse's natural gait to go left-handed to lead on their near foreleg. So that's not a biggie for me, but the dynamics at Caulfield are probably the slightly bigger thing. And with Joe riding here, I don't know how much exposure Joe's had to Caulfield itself, but when you begin from that mile start at Caulfield, you run straight uphill. Caulfield's more of a triangular track than anything. And the dynamics of Caulfield have brought many a Sydney sider undone, not so much the direction of racing. So he'll be back, come wide. He'll be giving Stapati a start, and I think Stapati's a damn good horse. But if he does get luck in running, I think he's the one to militarise, has got the quality and the form lines to be winning it.
You make perfect sense there, Peter. Anyone think you're a trainer? Race 10 on the program, the Toorak Handicap. Now, this is a big field taking on Amelia's Jewel, so she's going to have some work to do to keep on winning and really stamp herself as the best horse in the country. As we've seen,
the universe, she was last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's true. The best horse in the universe. I think it's more mytho than me, but I love Amelia's Jewel. And she's
I've done my form out of Pluto, and still not one better. There's still not one better.
Yeah, well, they only run on three legs in Pluto, so it's always tough to work that one out. But Amelia's Jewel.
And Uranus is only a synthetic track.
They get very dirty at the back of the run at Uranus.
Tom Hackett joins us now, the resident Rain Man, wearing his "I wish I win" cap. He's late to the party, but he's wearing the kit. So, Rain Man, welcome to you. We've been punching through this edition of Moody on the Mic mainly because you're not here, and it saves us a hell of a lot of time. How about you kick things off with giving us the market for the
Toorak Handicap, the last race on the Caulfield card, could be a key race for the future of the Spring Carnival as well. Amelia's Jewel is the favourite, $2.25, and Tino on the second line of betting at $6. They're the only other horses at single figure odds. The Inevitable is there at $12, but Amelia's Jewel, the favourite. This race is all about her at the $2.25. It looks like potentially the Ladbrokes Cox Plate is on the card. She is the favourite to win the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. But I think she's beatable in this Toorak Handicap. There's two horses I want to back to knock off this star mare, which I assume the rest of you will be tipping. The first is the Queenslander Antino. His record is outstanding. 9 wins from 11 race starts. He was one of the stars of the Brisbane Winter Racing Carnival. He won the Ladbrokes Sandown Stakes in impressive fashion last start. Was unlucky first up. James Allman just had no luck in running, trying to find a gap for him in the straight there. So he hasn't put a foot wrong, basically, his entire career, Antino. And I do think he is good enough to win this race at $6. The other horse I want to back at a price each way is Attrition. Who was going really well until he failed to fire in the Underwood Stakes there behind Alligator Blood. I think the drop back to handicap conditions, the drop back to 1,600 metres does suit, because before that, he was really good in the Fian Stakes where he was only narrowly denied by Pinstripe. So at $21 to win, $5.50 the place, I think he's a good bet.
I am with Amelia's Jewel, as you alluded to, Rain Man. Well, I don't know what the other two are going to be with her, but I certainly have. She's come on really nicely since that last run when she beat home prior to Jenny. Obviously, no world beater there at the Valley. Look, apparently she was an absolute picture the other morning at Caulfield. I don't think she'll have any issue first time at the track. And speaking to Simon Miller yesterday, he is going in confident, but confidence is not something that Simon Miller lacks. I'm with her. I hope she bolts in. I hope she heads to the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. That is where Simon wants to go. The owner doesn't need the money, but he wouldn't knock it back. But I have seen a report in the last hour on punters.com, so Wednesday afternoon, and the charity, they've already nominated the charity for Amelia's Jewel for the Golden Eagle. So the indications, apparently a suite has been booked as well at the track. So the indications are she's more likely than not to go from this into the Golden Eagle. But hopefully she goes in, regardless of where she goes, hopefully she goes in winning form. And $2.25 Amelia's Jewel, I'm with her.
Well, yeah, if it'll be very sad if it's the last time we see her in Melbourne, but she probably wins this. I'm trying to make a case for the old boy Pounding to stage an upset, but you go against the universe's best horse, you just can't do it. So Amelia's Jewel, late to the party, Rain Man, and Tino, drawn 17, mate. I'm not sure if you saw the barrier draw. You've been, you know, rushed off your feet today and late to our podcast, late everywhere. 17, not even a mention in your dispatches there that went on for 4.5 minutes.
Won't matter when he wins by 3.
Whoa, look at him go in his oversized hat and glasses. Looks just fantastic.
He looks like there, a cartoon. Right? He looks like a cartoon character. You can say it.
He does. I'm trying to work out which one it is, but yeah.
There is a reason I generally try to avoid wearing caps. They do not suit. They certainly do not suit.
No, you do look like Dickie Knee. There's no worries about that. There.
Turn around, right, man.
Yeah. So, listen, if she is the world's best horse, she's obviously the one to beat, Amelia's Jewel. I think the two horses that had absolutely zero luck in the Epsom, number 2, The Inevitable, and number 5, My Boy Pounding, they had no joy at all in the Epsom, both absolutely luckless. Pounding saw more of the outside fence than the inside fence, and The Inevitable saw more of the inside fence than anything else. And neither horse had any chance in that race. And I think that form line will be pretty strong into this. Pinstripe's another that I can think can run very well. So maybe a first four with Amelia's Jewel and rounding up Pounding, The Inevitable and Pinstripe to try and put a bit of value into it. But listen, she needs to step up again, Amelia's Jewel. Prior to Jenny, who nearly knocked her off, she's in this race again. We saw Life Lessons win the Group 2, so the form's getting franked all the time, those two household names. Maybe Pride of Jenny might step up and be hard to beat. It's going to be run at a good gallop. There'll be no place to hide, and it'll suit Amelia's Jewel swooping late.
Okay, this is what you've all been waiting for, listeners. We are going to look now at the $20 million Everest over the 1,200 at Randwick. Before we get the market, Rayman, we had a listener, a very loyal listener, Ben Appleby, who often tweets us, and he wanted to know, has Moods had a haircut and a shave? Because it's Moods' grooming, which is the greatest indication of how his horse is going to go in the big races. Moods, have you or are you going to be seeing a barber, or are you going to be doing it yourself in the next couple of days?
I did have a number one today.
Mm.
How's that look? I did have a
save the beard.
Yep. Number one all over. So it just depends if I get bored in the shower in the next couple of days to whether I take it all off. But
we're not talking nether
regions. The punters would like to see it, Moods. Like I'm saying you don't look as sharp in the shower.
The punters want to see Moods in the shower.
No one wants to see that. But I think the level of slickness that hair had, you look like he'd had the head in the bowler shine ahead of the TJ Smith. I want to see it nice and shiny to give me that confidence. I'll be backing I Wish I Win anyway, but I think that last little bit of confidence we need is you looking $1 million at Randwick on Saturday.
Well, you've got three days to find it out. 3 days to find out. So we'll see how we go, boys.
Okay, Rayman, give us the market for the Everest, because I did note before there might have been a little bit of a drift after the barrier draw on the Moody on the Mic's very own.
There has been. So we've got a new favourite for the Everest. It is Think About It, who has been favourite in the lead-up, but now is the clear favourite. He's $4.40 now, Think About It. I Wish I Win was $3.50 before the barrier draw, was out to $4.50 post the barrier draw. This afternoon is now out to $5.50. Got out to $6.50, which is just silliness. Back into $5.50 now. So
I wish I'd seen the
$6.50. As do I, Rog. Private Eye has been really well back since the barrier draw as well. He's now into $6, the clear third pick. Cylinder $8.50. Overpass got as short as $9. Back out to $11. Good money for In Secret in the last 24 hours as well. She's been $18 into $11. Buenos Nachos has been a bit of a drifter, $11 out to $13. So it's been a really interesting market already. And it's going to be a very, very interesting market in the lead up to the race. I still think that the market will come for I Wish I Win in the last 24 hours in the lead up to the race. And I do think I Wish I Win is the horse to beat. I think the race is on I Wish I Win's racket. If he comes out and he's able to replicate that rating he ran when he won the TJ Smith over 1,200 metres at Randwick earlier this year, he will win this race if he can replicate that run. Doing that is easier said than done, but I think Moods has given him the right preparation. We know that the I Wish I Win has been a great grand final horse. He won the Golden Eagle last spring. He won the TJ Smith at the start of the autumn. We all know how good he is. I do think he is the best horse in the race at his best. So he's clearly the horse to beat for mine. I'm terrified of Private Eye. I think Private Eye, we know how good a horse he is. He was very good in this race last year when he finished second behind Kick a Kick. His first run, first up in the shorts, was outstanding. He should only be better from that. I think he's a horse better suited to 1,200 metres than he is 1,100 metres. So Private Eye absolutely terrifies me. And Overpass, I think, is the value in the race. We know there's not a huge... It's a $20 million sprint with the best sprinters in the land. But there's not a huge amount of early speed. So I think Overpass will be able to take up the running. Josh Parr will be able to control the race. And we could see a similar situation to what we did in the Quokka earlier this year when the universe's best horse, Amelia's Jewel, was unable to run him down. He's going to give a really good sight over pass. I think he's a really good each-way bet. I think he should be in all your exotics. So they're the three for me. I Wish I Win, Private Eye, and Overpass. But I Wish I Win on top as the horse to beat.
If I Wish I Win to join a marble, I'd be very, very confident. And whilst that confidence is a little bit dented, I still think, as you mentioned, Roman, he's got the class and he's training has some class as well occasionally. I just remember ahead of the TJ that Moods said something like, you know, how he didn't want a genuinely heavy track. Five or six would have been fine, but didn't want to see a heavy track. Well, it was a nine, a chopped up nine that day, and he blew them away over that Randwick 1200, albeit from a wide draw, which suits his running style better. But my point is that the really good, you know, maybe great horses, they can overcome that adversity. And I think he sits in that category. Overpass in that slowly run race. Yeah, Amelia's Jewel couldn't run him down in the Quokka, but I Wish I Win's got the turn of foot over that shorter distance that I think can run him down if it is a bit slowly running and he's got a run. So I'm obviously we're a bit biased here, but I'm with I Wish I Win as well. Agree with you, Roman. I think the two Joe Pryde runners scare me. Think about it, and Private Eye. I think in sequence in the mix as well. That's my first four, but I've got I Wish I Win on top, obviously.
No one wants to hear from me. I Wish I Win. The floor is yours, Peter Moody.
What are you tipping, Anthony?
I Wish I Win.
Oh, righto. Yeah, listen, no excuses. He's had an unbelievable preparation. He's built into this race really, really well. He'll travel up in the next day or two to Sydney, which holds no fears because he's done it twice before successfully. Barrier one, he's going to have to negotiate a bit of traffic, but he would have to negotiate a bit of traffic from any draw, let's be honest. I think
would you rather, I'll fire a few questions at you, Pete. Would you rather draw right. one or 14?
Well, there's only 12 in it, so 12. Would I rather draw one than 12? Probably one, but I would have rather been in seven or eight, you know, six or seven or eight, to be quite honest. I think in a race that probably doesn't hold a lot of speed, I think you'll be a little bit surprised that he'll be a fair bit closer than most people expect from one alley. So they come out of that chute there at Randwick. You go back to his run in the his first up run, not the Mackaybe. What was it called, Rain Man? What was his
name? Mimsy Stakes.
The Mimsy Stakes. He wasn't too far off them there at a pretty good gallop. So don't be surprised from one alley that he doesn't settle a fair bit closer than most people would expect, and that'll take a fair bit of the luck out of the equation. I think for mine, Overpass is probably the horse to beat. I think his form lines are very, very good for this trip and track. I think he'll control the tempo. Think about it. It's the horse that'll probably be sitting at his girth or at his outside. Will one of the three-year-olds shop in Cylinder or Shinzo? Will they roll forward and put themselves into the race and maybe try and take advantage? You go into these big races thinking there's a distinct lack of tempo, and then all of a sudden four or five of them think, well, we're going to be right there, and they do end up running it quite genuine. So I think, listen, I can't fault my horse. He's in great order. I expect him to go there and go very, very close to winning, but I do have unbelievable respect for all the opposition.
What was your... First, when you found out he'd drawn one, tell us what your actual, what came out of your mouth, or was it in your head and didn't quite come out of your mouth?
A big spit of toothpaste because it was at 3 o'clock this morning and I was brushing my teeth in my ensuite, and I yelled out to Sarah, who I had seen roll over in bed, "What did we draw, Dale?" Because I went to sleep before the Barry draw. And she said, "Probably the one you didn't want, number one." So I spat the toothpaste out into the sink after I'd finished brushing my teeth. So that's what came out of my mouth.
I did wonder if you'd stayed up for the laser show, Mood. So good to see that you just you stuck to your routine and you tucked yourself into bed nice and early, as you like to do.
Yeah, no, I was off ski before 8 o'clock, Rain Man, because I knew it's a bit like when I have a late night run up on a Friday evening at Moonee Valley at the in the 9:15 or 9:45 race. I know me sitting up watching it won't change the result, and I'll know when I pick up my mobile phone the next morning the result will still be the same. It's just that I haven't lived through it.
Good to hear your dental hygiene's up to scratch too there, Pete. I wanted to ask just about, you talk about the perfect preparation and the horse is great. And just tell us a little bit about that preparation, because it is unusual. You've gone 1,400 back to the 1,200, big long gap between runs. Even first up, I remember your comments publicly were that the horse isn't, he's not wound up. It's obviously a long way from his grand final day and he was still a little hairy goat in the mounting yard. What's happened since that run and what have you seen and how's he blossomed and bloomed to your eye?
Well, this is basically another first up run probably, Anthony. He had a 1,400 metre hit out 6 weeks ago. He's had a freshen up and he's been geared up again to go first up at 1,200 metres. And like I said to you openly, I think this is probably an easier option than trying to have him ready to win a 1,000 metre race first up, as was running him in the Memsey. Listen, I got it wrong in the Memsey. I went in a half length short, didn't I? He loomed to beat Mr. Brightside and Princess Grace that day and peaked on his run 50 metres out after looking the winner. And we've seen that form be pretty much franked. So I got it wrong that day. I'm hoping I have it back to 1,200 on Saturday. So, yes, Rain Man, sorry, you got your finger in the air there.
Well, I'm just happy for you to finish that. But my question is now, if I Wish I Win does win the Everest, as we all hope he does, where would it rank in terms of your training achievements? Obviously, you've trained the best horse ever. You've won a Caulfield Cup. You've won at Royal Ascot. But where would winning a race like the Everest sort of stack up in terms of your career?
Well, I don't know, really. That's probably for other people to judge. Certainly doesn't have the... Yeah, well, I hope you're right, and I hope you do. It certainly doesn't have the presence or the pressure of taking Black Caviar to the races for any one of, say, our last 15 wins, to be honest. So I'm not feeling that sort of pressure at all. Now, is that me as a more mature person that's been down that road before? I don't know. And I haven't had an Everest runner full stop. So, listen, I'm not sure. Monetary-wise, obviously, it'll be our biggest result, but... yeah, listen, I know it's stupid and blasé to suggest that it's just another race, because it's not. But, in fact of training achievements, I think I've probably had better achievements, you know.
We like to keep our listeners and give them, an open book here on Media on the Mic. You just referred to yourself as mature, so I'd prefer you didn't lie to the listeners.
I think I said more mature.
It's a low bar.
Not fully mature.
No, that's it. Not fully mature. I reckon I need a few more springs on my back and a bit more grass in my belly before I'm fully mature.
Experience the best 24 hours of racing action and entertainment at the legendary Ladbrokes Cox Plate Carnival. It's spring after dark on Ladbrokes Cox Plate Eve with a night of fun under lights headlined by the Ladbrokes Moonee Valley Gold Cup. Plus, ARIA award-winning DJ Will Sparks will keep the party going after the races. Then Saturday, it's a massive day of Group 1 racing headlined by Australia's best race, the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Friday 27th and Saturday 28th of October. Tickets from just $30. Book now at coxplate.com.au.
Best bets time, and if you were on the bandwagon last week, you are counting your cash. You were swimming in a pool of money, Jimmy Cassidy style, after the A3 Melbourne Cup, because all our best bets got up. Now, listener Ben, not Ben Appleby, who we referred to earlier, but I had a listener text me, $5 he put on of Mood's Life Lessons, My Stretton Angel, Rain Man's Pierosa last week, and then turned that into more than 600, and that was when he took fixed dollars, which turned out unders. Now, Mytho's Best had already won on Thursday. If he had included that, it wouldn't have been much more, because that paid $1.26 after deductions. But well done to Ben, and well done to us So we'll get away from that little little circle jerk. And Rayman, give us your best for this week. Let's try and give it up.
I'm in the Caulfield Guineas for my best bet this week. Caulfield, a race 9, number 1 at Militarize. I was with him in the Golden Rose where he showed that electric turn of foot to get the job done. I think he'll only be better over 1,600 metres. I think of the three-year-old crop, he is clearly the best of them, and I think he'll only improve on what he did in the Golden Rose. So I think he can win the Caulfield Guineas on Saturday at $2.90. And hopefully we see him progress to the Ladbrokes Cox Plate and add another element of interest to that race, as a leading three-year-old chance always does.
Or in a word, or potentially two, give us a tip of the Might and Power as well, because that was the other one we missed.
Alligator Blood.
So two words, you just said it like a... Well, I won't say. Okay, my best is race 3, number 8 at Caulfield, and that is Karimi in the Herbert Power. Been very good in the two Australian starts, in his two Australian starts, including last start win, getting out to a much more desirable trip here at 2,400. Scratched last week, and I presume it was because this race set up just perfectly. I'm going to take that as a lead, and I'm going to go with the promising gelding Karimi, race 3, number 8 at Caulfield.
Rosemont best for the weekend. Look, we're hoping to win the Reginald Allen quality. It's a name you don't sort of hear too many kids christen these days. Reginald, is it? Should be more of it, though. It's listed race 1400, race 3 at Randwick, and we've got Aditi engaged in the race. Now, there's been a bit of a push-me-pull-you. Our team at Rosemont, not sure that an Exceed Excel mare or filly, three-year-old filly out of a Lonro mare will get further than the 1,200. But Gay is adamant that she'll eat up the 1,400 and she can win the Reginald
surprise.
Allen quality. So in Gay we trust. At $8.50, you can fill your boots there. We've got to beat Arctic Glamour, who does look well-suited. But if she gets the 1,400, Aditi is our best over the weekend, hoping that Pounding can win the Toorak with another homebred Rosemont. We won it with Mr. Quickie, Moods. You picked him, bought him, we bred him, and we can do it all again with Pounding, hopefully in the same colours.
Absolutely. You interjecting, Rog?
No, I was just going to say, you've got a very strong hand at Caulfield, or looks to be a pretty strong hand at Caulfield on Saturday as well. And I'd imagine you're going to be at Randwick and Catherine will be at Caulfield, and... Well, you both could be hopefully collecting plenty of trophies.
Yeah, well, Caulfield's been a terrific hunting ground for the stable over the years, and a handful of runners there. Quick run down them. Race 1, horse 5, Red Sun Sensation. I thought he was good first up. I think he'll take significant improvement into this run, and I expect him to be an excellent each-way chance in the first. Skip over to race 2, the very nice filly here, the horse 10, Time of My Life, Winx's little sister. Now, she's also engaged Friday night at Moonee Valley. I'm yet to decide, Friday night at Cranbourne, and I'm just yet to decide 100%. We've just got to have a closer look at both races. So she's a nice filly, and wherever I elect to run her, I would suggest she will be very hard to beat. Then we run across to the Northwood Plume. She Dances, race 4, number 7. She's ready to bounce back, this girl. She blew the cobwebs out first up. I think she'll lead and control this race, and I think she'll be very hard to beat. Probably nearly each-way odds there, two double each-way odds, She Dances.
$11 to win, $3.10 to place. I really like her as well.
Yeah, don't leave her out. She's out, back to her favourite trip, 1,200. She just finds them a little bit sharp and out of her comfort zone. So she could be the value runner from the stable on Saturday, She Dances, race 4, number 7. And then we go to one of our old favourites and a favourite of the show, Chain of Lightning. She resumes in the Scalacci Stakes, and what a good race it is. Uncommon James and Asphora ingratiating, my favourite word to say, and the likes there. Chain of Lightning, if you go back to her first up run in the autumn, should have nearly beaten horses of this quality in a similar type race first up. And I expect her to run a hell of a race fresh, and I think she'll be back at Caulfield in about 6 weeks' time for the old Show Day Cup or whatever it's called, which is now
the Rupert Clark Stakes.
The Sir Rupert Clark. So this is the first of probably two lead-in runs for the Rupert Clark for her. Mitho just being a gig there on the side screen. And then where do we go? We go across to race 8, the very much in-form Nunthorpe. I think she's probably my best for the weekend. Race 8, horse 8. She's in good form. She's racing extremely well. I think she'll race on or about the pace. Damien Oliver takes the ride with Jamie Carr up in Sydney this weekend. What odds Nunthorpe in the eighth, Rain Man?
$4.80 currently available with Ladbrokes.
Yeah, well, I think she's probably our lock of the weekend from the camp. She's trained on beautifully, this mare, and will really appreciate getting out to the mile. And I think she gets the opportunity to control the tempo from on or about the speed, where her main dangers, Foxy Frieda and a couple of others, are probably going to be sitting off her a little bit. I've given you my thoughts in the Toorak. I reckon Pounding and the Inevitable were the two unlucky runners out of the Epsom. One had locked away inside, one locked away outside. I do respect Amelia's Duel. She's the one to beat. But I thought you could couple them up with Amelia's Duel and maybe Pinstriped for a first four in the Epsom, in the Toorak. I struggle to pick a winner at times, and there we go. I'm trying to tell you to back a first four. But the best horse I'm taking to the races this weekend at Randwick, I wish I win. I think he'll be very hard to beat. You always need luck, but I reckon luck will be with us. And God give him strength. Trumby Nolan, the richest turf race in the world. I wish I win. Let him run fast.
Ladbrokes.